Greetings. Overcomers.ca. The Epistle Mysteries, Chapter 18. The Mystery of God, the Face of God. Scriptures. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 17 and 18. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. And one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. Revelation 4, 1-3. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, Yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens, and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Haggai 2, verses 4-9. And I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Revelation 16, verses 13-16. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Revelation 19:11-21. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you also that are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed a righteousness of God from faith unto faith, as it is written, But the righteous shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hinder the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known of God is manifest in them, for God manifested it unto them. For the invisible things of him, since the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made, even his everlasting power and divinity, that they may be without excuse, because that, knowing God, they glorified him not as God, neither gave thanks, but became vain in their reasonings, and their senseless heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God for the likeness of an image of corruptible man, and of birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts unto uncleanness, that their bodies should be dishonored amongst themselves, and that they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Romans 1:15-25, American Standard Version. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians 2:3-12. End scriptures. two visions. First vision. Being then carried to the edge of the bow, the angel which carried me set down upon a paved work, even the work that is at the outer edge of the bow that goes round about the throne. I saw the bow, and in the midst of the bow a fire enfolding in upon itself, a great tempest of fire billowing forth, folding in upon itself without being consumed. And in the midst of the fire a throne set, and one who sat upon the throne, even the Ancient of Days. His face to look upon was as the jasper stone and the sardius or sardine stone. As God looked out, his face did emanate these stones, and he did look out upon the surface of the earth, even through the nations to the valley of Megiddo, and to the very battle called Armageddon, the place of the rendezvous. The gathering together, the compacting of all whose flesh would be fed to the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, even to there, in this present time, did the face of God look forth, and the battle of Armageddon even began in intensity as God did look upon it. End vision. Second vision. I beheld over the surface of the earth those who were called to be kingdom ministers, as well as those who wore the name and the mantle of kingdom ministry, but who were never anointed as kingdom ministry. In a moment of time, they all appeared together on the earth, and upon the heads of each one was a pillar of cloud swirling straight upwards. The pillar of cloud was the overshadowing of the Spirit of God to watch over his word and to perform it. The pillars were straight and true. However, I saw that some of the ministries began to preach for their own benefit the things of the kingdom of God, of the things of God's kingdom. And they began to fit the word of God into a form which would suit their needs and prosper them in the things of this world. I saw then that over the heads of such, the pillars of cloud became pointed at the bottom, just like you would see with a funnel cloud or a tornado. The pointed part eventually began to lift off the heads of these who did not move in the anointing of the Lord, or who did at one time move in that anointing. But the lure of the riches of this world took them away into vanity. Upon them also the pillar of cloud formed into these funnel shapes. The funnel-shaped pillars then began to lift off the heads of these who ministered iniquity and not righteousness, until the pillar was completely receded off of their heads, and the pillars formed instead a dark cloud over the whole of the earth because of the lack of hearing true anointed ministry preach the word of God. There were only a very small few who had the pillar of cloud remaining intact upon their heads in the earth. These remained anointed of God for kingdom ministry, but the rest had the pillar of God removed from them. Many of these who had lost the pillar of cloud over them continued to preach as though they were ministers of God's kingdom, but their words had no life in them and had no substance to them, for the pillars of cloud had left them. They continued, however, to minister, not even knowing that the pillars had left. Some of God's children would adhere to these kingdom ministries as if they were truly sent by God to minister unto them. These who adhered to these false ministries also became dried up and destitute. The bread they received from these ministries was dry bread with no moisture, hard as clay, without any ability to sustain them. Yet these children of God who listened to these false ministers did not repent of this, even though the bread they received was stale and very old. And second vision, and two visions. When God looks upon the bow, he sees it much differently than we do. We see the rainbow in the earth as the promise that he will never again judge the earth by using a flood. In that judgment, the thoughts of men's hearts was evil continually. Nothing they imagined was kept from them, and all they did provoked God to anger. Thus he destroyed the first earth in that deluge at that time. That bow has remained as a promise that he will not judge the earth the same way, but it is not a promise that he will not judge the earth once again. I say to you prophetically that this judgment is even happening right now as you read this paper. The judgment of God has gone forth even by his very appearance. When we see the bow, we see this promise. When God sees the bow, he sees it round about his throne as the elements needed for man to pass through to come approach God and to see him upon the throne of eternity. Each soul ever created will in time pass through the colors of this bow and will approach God. So then, God sees this bow as his promise of full restitution. But at the same time, he has risen once again to judge the earth, for God is now moving in this very hour we live in at such a rapid pace that his purposes would be completed for the dawn of his kingdom. The age of the kingdom of God is beginning in the earth, and it is in this dawning that God will destroy all the works of man and will restore all the life of man into his own image. God is doing both at the same time. It is happening right now, and nothing will stop him from fulfilling this purpose. All this is unfolding in present time. There are three worlds that God has ordained be created on this earth. The first world perished in the flood, which flood ended with the promise of the rainbow. Now we have come to the end of the second world, and this world will be destroyed by the heat of the fire of the Holy Ghost, which fire will consume all the works of man and the very elements themselves. There is not one thing that man has built that will survive the fiery blast of this judgment. All that pertained to the life of the world since the time of Noah until now will he consume very quickly in this judgment. There will not be one single thing from the second world that will enter the third world of his kingdom other than the naked souls of man whom he created. All the wisdom of the world, all that man has built to call this world a home, all that man has gained in earthly knowledge and understanding, all of this will perish and will not enter the new dominion that is dawning. These are not empty words. You will see this even with your own eyes. The thoughts of men's hearts have become evil continually. Once again, God has risen to judge the earth and to cause it to perish in that judgment. The souls he has made will cross over into the next age, but they will be stripped of everything of the age that now passes. At the very same time that God is bringing forth his wrath to end the second earth, he is bringing forth great grace that has not been known before to bring the souls he has created into the millennium, even into this third world which now is dawning. So the souls of the second world will suffer loss. They will suffer the end of all that they built unto themselves. But they themselves will be preserved to enter into the kingdom of God, which will appear on the earth with Christ and his overcomers, ruling over the nations. The souls of men will remain identified with nations God created, but as he intended them to be, not as entities separated one from another because of geography, but as a common humanity, part of the whole, a people in whom God would be their father. As the people of God, we have waited our entire lives to see the kingdom of God realized. Now we have come to that place where it is unfolding, and we cannot seem to believe it. Yet it is a fact. God has risen to shake all things, but in the end of this shaking, man's desire will be reduced to wanting Christ in his kingdom alone. The time frame for this to happen is unfolding, even now. And the perfect, quick work, cut short in righteousness, is even being done at this present time. All around you will be this change, this culmination. All that you see now will be subject to this change. Nothing will remain the same at all. Everything man has done selfishly will be undone, and all that man has done to build up for the body of their own flesh will be lost in the tumult of God's judgments. There is nothing that his spirit now has not risen to judge and to shake and to destroy. All that you see will come under the fire of his wrath, that consuming fire which burns but remains constant. The fire that God is in perfect control and order. The fire that is God in perfect control and order. He is bringing this about. Expect it, for the time of this to begin has already passed. It is actually happening even now. I'd like to repeat that. There is nothing that his spirit now has not risen to judge and to shake and to destroy. All that you see will come under the fire of his wrath, that consuming fire which burns but remains constant, the fire that is God in perfect control and order. He is bringing this about. Expect it, for the time of this to begin has already passed. It is actually happening even now. Jesus said this, quoting from Matthew 24, 21 to 31, the words of Jesus, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." And Jesus also prophesied this from Matthew 24:35 to 44. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noe were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noe entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. In other words, this will be quick. There is not going to be a long, drawn-out process as we have had for the past two millenniums. This transition into the kingdom of God upon the earth will be very fast. Suddenly, the governments of this world, the economies of this world, the politics and religions of this world will find no more answer. The power of choice is first going to be removed from them. They will not be able to choose if they wish to be part of the unfolding tribulation or not. They will not have a say. The Lord is going to choose their delusions for them, and then bring all those delusions to a complete end. And no man will be able to stop this from happening. For the overcomers, they have had their Armageddon. That battle was the culmination of their faith. For them, that battle will be one of the first things that will pass for those who overcame all things. They will have removed from them the disparaging of flesh versus spirit in themselves, and will come into perfect peace as the fires of God's wrath destroys the entire world around them. For the battle of Armageddon is merely the gathering up of all that is flesh in you, all that is of the lower nature in you. Let me say that again. For the battle of Armageddon is merely the gathering up of all that is flesh in you, all that is of the lower nature in you, and having it judged and destroyed by God. But now this is going to happen on a worldwide scale. The battle of Armageddon will overtake all mankind in our day. Nothing and no one will be able to stop it. The only ones in true ministry and in true peace will be they that overcame. The earth will be cleansed by fire, and the entire earth will be given to Christ and they that rule with him, the overcomers, who will inherit completely all the earth and lands and all that live within it. For now, we continue to judge ourselves until this all comes to pass. We continue to set our feet in order before the Lord and before his unfolding purpose for the third world that is dawning. We judge our soul and spirit, and we allow God to continue to test us to see if there be any wicked way in us, so that we may be led in the way everlasting. Remain steadfast in your desire to be found perfect in the perfect will of God. Do not allow yourself to fall into the clutches of ministry who prophesy and teach out of their own minds, but instead sanctify yourselves unto the Lord, and let him be your fear and let him be your dread. Let the Lord God be the one who raises through you with the candle of his Spirit. I wish to conclude this writing by placing in a portion of a book written by Ross McKay of Light in His Glory Ministries. The book is titled A Light in a Dark Place, and it reveals light in the various elements of history and places in the Spirit by which negative things are overcome by the light of His Word. This one element I wish to add to this writing reveals the false light versus the true light that can shine in the temple of God, even the holy place which is your inner man. For me personally, I have spent years warning others of the false light that imitates the true. We live in a time wherein false light is worshipped as true light. Perhaps this is the greatest abomination that makes desolate of anything that is in the world of men. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.